And we're holding on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, the second line. I got information. Continuing on topics of Ritzeach, as we learned in the Mishnah. Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Hikuhu Asara Bnei Odom Ba'Asara Maklois. If 10 people hit a person with 10 sticks, each one picked up a stick and hit him, Umes, and then he died, whether they did it all at once, or whether each one of them did it one after the other, Turim, then they're all Potter, as we're going to explain in the Gemara why. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that if they did it one after the other, ha'achron chayev, then the last one will be chayev, because he made him die sooner. Meaning, in other words, exactly what it sounds like. According to the first 9 each hit him and caused him that now he's less able to live than before. And the last one did the final blow, which made him die sooner, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that that's reason to be mechayev him. Before I should talk about, by the way, when we say over here with 10 sticks, now what about the Rashba talks about what happens, for example, if they all picked up one stick together, then the Rashba discusses that maybe he leaves it tzorach la'ayin, whether they would be chayev or not. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who learn that clearly be potter. In all these cases that they're potter, like we talked about yesterday, it means that Hashem will deal with him. Doesn't mean the person gets off scot-free. Anyway, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Shneim Mikra Echad Dorshu, Rabbi Yechanan says, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira are actually learning from the same Pasuk that whether he's Chayev or potter. Because the Pasuk says, V'ish ki yaka kol nefesh adam. When a person strikes kol, soul of a person. Now, that word kol can have 2 different meanings. The word kol can sometimes mean all, or it can sometimes mean any. So that's exactly the machlokas. Rabbanan Savri, kol nefesh means ad de'ikah kol nefesh, that he can only be chayev only if he took away the entire nefesh. Now, because of the first ones already, they already helped with killing him, so there's no kol nefesh for any one of them, and therefore that would be a reason the chachamim would be saying for him to be potter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira sava kol nefesh, kol dehu nefesh. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that the word kol can mean any. And therefore, so it means that he killed any part of the nefesh. So therefore, that's enough reason to be mechayev him. The Ran brings from a Tosfos, which we don't have in front of us over here, which discusses how does the word kol have 2 different opposite meanings? And Tosfos explains it's not just the word nefesh, it's not just the word kol. It's also the word nefesh doesn't mean the whole soul, the whole life, or only part of it. With that said, the Ran says it's not really such a question. You have, for example, let's say you have a positive kol tzipor tahara techelu, means that you're allowed to eat all kosher birds. On the other hand, you have, for example, let's say kol amitzvah. Hashem says keep all the mitzvah. It means all of them. But let's say, for example, if you put something before the bird, it says lo techa kol te'eva, then it doesn't mean don't eat all te'eva. It means don't eat any te'eva. And there's other examples like that as well. So then the Oruch Haner goes on and discusses this further over here. So in any case, the point is that, so again, according to the way we have it in front of the Gemara over here, the question is the meaning of the word kol, but according to that Tosfos, it has to do with the meaning of the word nefesh. Well, the Gemara continues. Omar Rava. Now, they're both going to agree that if a person kills a trefa, a trefa, you know, like you have with animals. You have, for example, a person who has a hole in his lungs, a person who has any of about 70 different conditions. That means that b'derech hateva, he's not going to live too long. In the case of animals, you have 70 such conditions. So if the person actually has a physical defect in his body that's going to make that he dies soon, shehu potter, then the one who killed him is going to be potter, because it's considered as though he's already dead. So in other words, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who holds that kol nefesh means kol dehu nefesh, any small amount of nefesh, he's going to agree that a trefa is not really considered for that purpose a nefesh at all. So if he's a treifa, then everybody will agree that he's potter. But goisus bidei shamayim, on the other hand, if the person is naturally goisus, goisus literally means stirring up. It refers to all over Shas, and in halacha, goisus is a person who's on the verge of death. Literally, you have in English, you have a word, the death rattle, meaning like a person's taking his final breaths, and the phlegm is rattling around in his throat, and then suddenly such a person is called a goisus. We usually say in the Gemara, roiv goisus in lamisa, most goisusim are going to end up dying, although there is a minority of them who do recover. So now, if he's goisus bidei shamayim, shehu chayev, then if somebody kills him, then he would be chayev. This is where we get the whole concept of euthanasia being also is based on this Gemara, and related Gemaras and things like that. Here you have the guy taking his final breaths, but if somebody were to kill him at that point, he would be chayev. Because there still is the possibility, after all, that a goisus bidei shamayim might recover, and therefore you can't say that. So the point is that, now, what's the difference between him and a treifa? A treifa, there's an actual defect somewhere in his body. There's an actual hole somewhere in his body that's going to make it that he's going to die soon. As opposed to a goisus bidei shamayim, just means that a person is in his final moments. He's deathly ill, but there's nothing noticeably wrong with the organs of his body. But while the treifas, you know, when we talk about treifas, when we eventually get to Masech Tehulin, Bez Hashem, we're going to see all of the treifas that we list over there are things where you can actually look at an organ of the body and see something and see some defect in it, as opposed to, let's say, for example, we're going to learn over there, an animal that swallowed something poisonous, or an animal that's suffering from some illness or whatever that doesn't make a change in its body is not considered a treifa. So the same thing by a person. You can have a person, there's a difference between a treifa who's going to die in the next few months because of this injury, because of this lesion in his body, versus a goisus bidei shamayim, which is just a person who's deathly ill for with something that doesn't necessarily make him a treifa. Anyway, so then shehu chayev, then for sure somebody who kills him at that point, he would be chayev. So Rava says the machloikas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Huda ben Beseira is when the person is goisus because of human agency, namely like in this case where previously people came and whacked him with sticks, and now comes one person to give the final blow. So So the basic machloikas is then that the Tanakhama. So it's not just the difference in psukim that we said before, it's also a difference in svara. And that svara, in turn, may be why they doubt in the psukim differently. So the Tanakhama compares him to a treifa. Therefore, just like a person kills a treifa, he'll be potter. So also he kills this goisus v'dei adam, he'll also be potter. Goisus v'dei shamayim, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, compares him to a goisus v'dei shamayim, and they're just like somebody who kills him then, who does euthanasia there, would be chayev, so it is over here when it's bidei adam. Tosfos brings up the point, the people who made him a goisus bidei adam themselves should be chayev, whoever it is that made him a goisus bidei adam should be chayev misa, given that most goisusim do die, and as we learned in the previous parak, we do go, even with dini nefashos, we do follow the roiv. So Tosfos says, though, the fact is, as we're going to learn soon, that we see that when a person hits somebody else and injures him, the Torah is kind of nakal on him. It says we put him in jail temporarily to see what happens, but if the victim recovers, then he's free to go, and as long as he's still alive, we don't kill the person who hit him. So we see the Torah is not going, so we see we're not going to go kill him unless the victim really is dead. So then, given that, after all, there is the possibility that a goisus might recover, so therefore, we don't have enough of a basis to kill him yet. Even though Hochan Medina Nefoshes Acha Roiv, nevertheless, that's still not a valid reason to kill him. That's according to Tosfos. The Minchas Chinuch actually has some problems with that explanation of Tosfos, and so the Minchas Chinuch gives a different lumdish answer that it has to do with when the roiv took place, when the roiv is before the Maisa versus when the Maisa is before the roiv. So on that basis, the Minchas Chinuch says that would be a different reason why to say that the one who hit him and made him a goisus should be potter. Okay. In any case, that's only when they made him a goisus. If they made him a treifa, then everybody's going to agree he is chayav misa. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, manda medamel le treifa my time le medamel le gersis v'dei shemayim. Well, the chachamim who are comparing this gersis v'dei adam to a treifa, why indeed don't they compare and say therefore that he's potter? Why don't they compare him to a gersis v'dei shemayim like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseda does and say he's chayev? And the answer is gersis v'dei shemayim leis aved be maisa, because when somebody is gersis v'dei shemayim, nothing was actually done to him. He became sick and now he's on the verge of dying. So that's much different than hai aved be maisa. Here some maisa was done to him. People beat him up. So therefore, so the Tanakhama says you can't really compare them. So therefore, you can say that a gersis v'dei shemayim, nothing was done, and he naturally fell ill, and the chances are that, and therefore, in other words, what it is based on the pasuk, kol nefesh, at this point, that's the kol nefesh that he has left, is the little bit of chayus that he still has, and therefore a person kills him, he'd be chayav, as opposed to here, gersis v'dei adam, already you have many people, the other people have taken away part of his nefesh, and therefore you can't be mechayav him the last, you can't be mechayav the last one, say the chachamim. What about Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, who compares him to a gersis v'dei shemayim, and therefore says that the last person who hit him will be chayev? Why doesn't he compare him to a treifa like the chachamim do? And the answer is treifa mechachi simonim. Because when it comes to a treifa, there are actual simonim that are cut. The Gemara is using this expression, mechachi simonim, a little bit loosely. Rashi pointed, usually simonim means the windpipe and the esophagus that are cut by an animal or the equivalent by a person. Here we don't mean a person can be treifa in any of 70 different ways, so we don't literally mean those particular simonim, but we mean, Rashi says more generally, we mean simon chayusa, the simonim of his life. In other words, again, you have various parts of his body where the chachamim know that a hole or a defect or a change in color or whatever it is in one of these organs is bederach hateva going to kill a person or an animal. So according to them then, you can see that change in the organ, as opposed to when the people beat him up. They beat him up, they wounded him very, very badly, but there's no particular organ that now we can point to and say, wait, this whole organ, which is not supposed to have a hole in it, now does, and therefore now he's a treifa. After all, we're saying there is a difference between treifa and gersis v'dei adam. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says, there's not really a basis to compare them, and therefore better, if we're going to compare him to a gersis v'dei shemayim, and the result is Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira would say, that the last person who hit him would be chayim. So the Gemara brings in this connection. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Sheshes. A Tana taught the following braisa in front of Rav Sheshes. When the pasuk says the ishki yakakol nefesh adam, again this pasuk that says a person strikes kol nefesh of a person, and again we said that kol can have two possible meanings. It can mean all or it can mean any. That means lahovi amakas chaveri. That comes to include a case where somebody hits somebody else. The invoke kadeva homis, and that blow would not be strong enough to kill him. Uvar achavehem misay, and somebody else came and killed him. Shul chayev, that second person is going to be chayev because again, according to this braisa, kol nefesh means kol dehu nefesh, any amount of nefesh. So Rav Sheshes asks the Tana of the Braisa, Ein Boi Kedela Homis, if the first one did not strike him hard enough to kill him, Pshita, then of course the last one should be Chayev, because, in other words, the whole case we were talking about before with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira and the Chachamim is each one of them hit him hard enough to kill him. Just that he somehow managed to survive the first few, and then the last one came and finally finished him off. But over here, to begin with, if the first person didn't hit him hard enough to potentially kill him, then of course the first one is chayev. And then of course the first one is potter, and then necessarily the last one has to be chayev. Ella, rather, Rav Sheshes tells the Tana, you have to correct your braisa, yesh boi kedei lahomis. We're talking about that the original blow was strong enough to kill, so that now this person is a gersis v'dei adam, uvo acher v'hem misay, and somebody else actually comes and finishes him off and kills him, shehu chayev, that then he would be chayev, in which case then his stomach could have been hurt in the Seder. In that case, then be aware, says Rabbi Huda, says Rav Sheshes, to this Tana, that you should know that we're talking about that this Braisa then is according to Rabbi Huda ben Maseira. So there is that distinction. Now, halacha is like the chachamim, that he's chayiv misa only when he's goses b'dei, only when he's, that he's potter from misa when he's a trefa, and also goses b'dei adam, because the chachamim are comparing those two. With that said, there was a trova from Ramosha, one of the trovas about euthanasia and other things like that, where Ramosha points out that all of this is only as far as the Sanhedrin executing him, but as far as that other than that, a person kills somebody else, even we're talking about euthanasia, even let's say we're talking about the patient is a terefa, nevertheless, it still would be osur, and there's no difference between whether he's intact, or whether he's a terefa, or goes to speed adam, or what have you, and then it's still outright osur. Okay. So now, since we mentioned a trefa, the Gemara is going to bring a number of dinim that are in which a trefa is going to be different than a regular person. And again, keeping in mind that a trefa over here means not just where a person is deathly ill, but where there's actually some kind of noticeable condition in his body that means that that following the halachas of trefas with animals, we know that v'derech hateva, he's not going to live more than a few more months. How they would know it with internal organs before they had x-rays, I don't know, but let's say we have some way of finding out. So Amar Rava, ha-horigas a trefa potter, if somebody kills a trefa, then he would be potter, like we said, because then that can't be called kol nefesh adam. U-trefa shahorag, now on the other hand, what if a trefa person himself goes and kills somebody else? So then it depends, says Rava. Bifnei Beistin Chayav. If he does it right there in the presence of Beistin, a Beistin of at least 23 that are going to be needed in order to execute him, Chayav, then he'll be Chayav and that Beistin can judge him and execute him. Shaloi Bifnei Beistin Potter. But if it wasn't in the presence of Beistin, and therefore you need Edim Potter, then he's going to be Potter. Why is that? Bifnei Beistin, my time, Chayav, Dichtiv. Or we out to Rama Kibecha. Because the Pasuk says you should remove evil from among your midst. Meaning, in other words, even we can't judge him in the regular way, as Rava is going to go on to point out, because you can't have true Eidos against him in the sense that Eidos has to be Eidos Shati Yochel Azima. Eidos has to be where it's possible to be Mazim them to say that there were Edoms, that they are Edom Zomen, and then Vasisim Loikasha Zomam, then we punish them the way that they were planning to do to this person. Here, let's say they were to be Edom against him. If other Edom were to come and say they are Edom Zomen, the problem is we can't execute the first set of Edom because they would say Gabak Taylor Katli. They only killed somebody who himself would have been who himself was a dead man walking anyway, and therefore there's no basis to kill them. So therefore, to begin with, their Eidos is possible. So when we don't need Eidos, when they're right there in front of Beistin, and Beistin themselves does it, then we can say they do have a responsibility of getting rid of evil from the Jewish people. Meaning, in other words, they're not necessarily on the basis of Eidos, but just the fact that, for example, so the Aruch HaNer explains that it means, in other words, we're not being Mekayim, the usual mitzvah of Mitzvah Beistin, because again, he's considered just for some purposes as though he's already dead, but nevertheless, you still have a responsibility to get rid of a mazik, which is why the Gemara is bringing that pasuk. Tosfos actually points out that it would have to be, in order for us to say that he'd be chayev and that Beistin could judge him, would actually have to mean that it was by daytime, where therefore they can just judge him based on their seeing. If it was by night, you'd still need Eidos. And again, Eidos was saying you can't have against him, as Rav is going to go and explain. So if he did it not in the presence of Beistin, or as Tosca says, even if it was in the presence of Beistin, but at night, Potter, then he'll be Potter, this Trefa, the Havila Eidos, Shiyati Yochel Azima, because then the result is that this Eidos against him is an Eidos that you can't be Mazim, because if we were to be Mazim the Edim, we can't say that we should punish them with the punishment that they would have caused for him, because then all they were trying to do was kill a person who's already considered in some ways dead, who in some ways Halacha already considers him dead, and therefore such an Eidos is possible. So only when there's no Eidos involved, only when it's based in themselves seeing, and now they're destroying something dangerous, someone dangerous, then we're able to execute him, but otherwise not. So Rova says, any Eidos that you can't be Mazin is not really considered an Eidos in the first place, and therefore, since they're Potter, so it's not an Eidos in the first place, and therefore, you can't execute him based on that. So there are various discussions about that, about cases of Eidos Shiyata Yochel Azima. So you have other cases where the Gemara implies that even though we'll learn at the beginning of Makkos, for example, you have cases where for one reason or another we can't punish the Eidim Zimmerman with the exact punishment that they were going to cause for the other person, and nevertheless it's still considered a valid Eidos. So why is this any different? So one difference is the fact that you can do at least some punishment to them. For example, in those cases, you can give them malchus instead. So therefore, it's considered to be Eidos Shati Yochel Azima. So you have that. There are cases even involving a treifa where it's possible to make them pay money, because to that extent it doesn't matter whether he's considered dead or not. And in fact, that comes up with the question also: what happens if a treifa himself is going to give edus? So in fact, he himself is edus she'iyata yochel azima for the same reason, because if there were edim zomim against him, they're not going to be considered edim zomim on the grounds that he's considered dead already. On the other hand, you could say that he would be chayev to pay if it was a matter of dinei mamonos, and therefore to that extent, then we can consider it eidos shati yochel azima. That's the Or Sameach discusses this and gives such a point. On the other hand, the Kesef Mishnah says that maybe the only way Eidos would be kosher from a Terefa would only be, practically speaking, based on didn't know he was a Terefa at the time, and afterwards they discovered he was. All right. So anyway, so the point is, though, that again, when you need Aegis against him, you can't, because he's considered already dead, and therefore, so it's Aegis Shiyata Yochel Azima, so therefore, Rava says the only way to get him would be if it was actually in front of Beis Din, and as Tosfa says, at a time when Beis Din would actually be able to judge him. V'omar Rava, and Rava says in the same connection, Hareveya is a Trefa, a person commits Mishkav Zohar with a Trefa, Chayev, then that other person will be Chayev Nisa, but if the Trefa person himself did Mishkav Zohar with somebody else, then Bifnei Beis Din Chayev, Shaloi Bifnei Beis Din Potter. If it was in front of Beis Din, he'll be Chayev, and if not in front of Beis Din, or at night, then he'll be Potter. Same idea. The same way. He's Ra, and therefore we have to get rid of him. For the same reason, because the Eidos, we can't be Mazim, because the Eidim against him, we wouldn't be able to give him this kind of punishment. We wouldn't be able to do to them, because he himself is already considered dead. So the Gemara asks, so why does Rav Achitel say both these dinim? Ha tu lamali, why does he need this second din? Hainu ha, isn't it exactly the same as the first one? It's not like Rav Achitel to go and tell us every single individual aveda the person might do that makes him chayim misa. And the answer is, Reveya es a trefer, tzrichalei. The chidush is, as far as the case of the Reveya es a trefer, where somebody else committed Mishkav Zohar with him. Where we're saying that person is chayev. That was the whole chiddush of what Rava is saying. The rest of it he was saying only derech agav. Meaning, mau de tema, because without Rava telling us, if we're saying that in halacha, the trefa is considered already dead, then lahevi command a mishamish mes v'liftar. Wouldn't we say that maybe we should compare it to, if this other person were to do mishkav zachar on a body that's already dead, then he would be potter. So maybe if you're going to tell me that the Trefa is considered already dead, then the person who committed Mishkav Zachar on him should be Potter as well. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rava wants to tell us that no, Dimishum Hanahu, because fundamentally what are you being Machai of the other person who did it to him is because of the Hanah that he had. This is true in general of Arias. Vaha Islay Hanah, and over here there is Hanah. In other words, Rashi makes the point, it's true that Lahalocha we consider a Trefa dead. The fact is, though, he's not dead yet. The fact is, biologically, right now, he's still alive, which means, therefore, the person who commits Mishkav Zachar with him has pleasure from it. As opposed to, Rashi's expression is that when you have an actual dead body, the warmth of the body, the moisture of the body is already gone, it's cold and stiff, and therefore, the person who does it doesn't have that kind of hanah. So therefore, so that's Rava's point, that even though lahalacha, even though in halachic definitions we consider the trefa to be dead, nevertheless, biologically, he's still alive, and he still has that body heat, and all that, and therefore somebody who commits mishkav zachar with him can still be chayev. So that's why Rava had to say that second din, and then Bepashtus, what happened was he had previously said the din about when he kills, and then he adds that also in this case. Okay. V'amar Rava, Rava says another din in this connection. Edim shei idu b'treifa. If edim say edus against the treifa, he's going to be chayev misa or something. And here we have to talk about the Kesef Mishnah. The Aruch HaNer says similar to the Kesef Mishnah we were talking about before, that you could be talking about where they said edus against him and they didn't know at the time, the Beis Din didn't know that the guy is treifa, and then they find out afterwards. So those Edim said Edus against him, that he's Chayiv Misa, Vohuzmu, and now these Edim themselves were found to be Edim Zemin, Ein Neherogin, then we can't execute them, because again, they're only trying to kill somebody who in Halacha is considered already dead. The fact that he still has body heat and everything that we just said about Mishkav Zachar, that doesn't make a difference as far as his halachic status is considered, for many purposes dead, and therefore you can't be Mechayev the Edim Misa for trying to kill a person who's already considered to a certain extent dead. So therefore, so Ein Rogan, so they can't be executed. On the other hand, if the Edim themselves were Trefa, and they were and they gave Edus, and again we could be talking about that we didn't know when they were Trefa at the time, and then they were shown to be Edim Zemin, Nehrogin, then they can still be executed. So therefore, so in other words, similar to the way Rava was saying that if the Trefa killed somebody in front of Beis Din or committed Mishkav Zachar with somebody in front of Beis Din, then he can be Chayav Misa. So in the same way, Rava says that he will be here, it's not like the treifa is going to be completely potter from Misa. If he himself, or they themselves, gave Edus, then they will be chayav Misa on the grounds of Edim Zemmin. But just other people who say Edus against them, we're not going to be able to execute those other people because they're only trying to kill somebody who's considered in halacha to already be dead. That's Rava. Rav Ashi, Amar Afilu Ede Treifa Shehuzmu Ein Neherogin. Rav Ashi says no. Even if the Edim themselves are Treifa and they turn out to be Edim Zomimin, we also can't execute them. Lefisha Ein V'Zomimei Zomimin, because you wouldn't be able to have Hazama against that Hazama. Meaning, so you have two Edim, Reuven and Shimon, come to Beis Din and testify. Now we find out after they testified that they were Treifa. Now, you also have, afterwards, Levi and Yehuda come and say to Reuven and Shimon, Imanu ha-yisim, you were with us elsewhere, and therefore you can't have seen this. Now, if Reuven and Shimon were not treifas, then we would just say, v'asisim lo'kasha zomam, Reuven and Shimon are now getting whatever punishment, up to and including Misa, that they were going to do to the person they testified against falsely. But now what happens is, Levi and Yehuda's Edus itself has to be a valid Edus as well, which means there has to be the possibility that Yisachar and Zvulun will come and say to Levi and Yehuda, Imanu HaYisim. Now, in this case over here, says Rav Ashi, if Reuven and Shimon, the original Edim, with Trefa, then not only do you have that, so you have the Edim against them, Levi and Yehuda, are not going to be able to be executed because the point is, in other words, if Levi and Yehuda by themselves come, there's no question about executing them. We believe them and we execute Reuven and Shimon anyhow. Like Rava is saying, the problem is, says Rav Ashi, that then the fact is, what happens if other Edim come against Levi and Yehuda, and the result is that Levi and Yehuda are now Chayav Misa, but they can't be Chayav Misa because they were only trying to kill Reuven and Shimon, who are Trefus, and who were saying you can't kill them. So therefore, Rav Ashi says that because of that, it means, in other words, therefore, we can't say that Levi and Yehuda's Edus is a valid Edus, because again, it's Edus She'iyata Yochel Lahazimah. So Tosfos says, listen, Rav Ashi is not going to say that, So Robber is not going to make that comparison. Robber holds that Rashi points out that that Robber disagrees with that. He says, fine, you can't be mazin the second set of Edom, but nevertheless, the Edus is still an Edus, because the whole concept of Edom Zemin is a Chidush. The whole concept, why should we believe the second set of Edom over the first? Why shouldn't we say it's two against two, and we throw out the whole Edus, and nobody's Chayev? The whole concept that we say Edom Zemin, that we believe Levi and Yehuda over Reuven and Shimon, even to the extent of killing Reuven and Shimon, is a Chidush. So therefore, Robber says there's no problem if that Chidush also includes the fact that we're going to have Levi and Yehuda executed, even though the ones they were testifying against, Reuven and Shimon, are themselves Tereifus. But Ravashi does say it has to be that way, and therefore, according to him, then Levi and Yehuda's Edus is not a valid Edus in the first place, and therefore... And therefore they can't be Chayev Misa. V'omar Rava. Rava says another din in this connection, which again Rav Ashi is going to disagree with. Shur treifa shahorag. If a shur, now after all this time we've been talking about a person who's treifa. Now what about an animal who's treifa? Shahorag, that it killed a person. Chayev, then it will be Chayev Skila. V'shur shall adam treifa shahorag potter. On the other hand, if the shur belongs to a person who's treifa, then the shur will be potter from being killed. My timer, why, says Rava, omakra, shur yisokol v'gam ba'olav yumos. The pasuk says, the shur should be given skila, and also the owner should be put to death. Now, that doesn't actually mean the owner is put to death. It just means that we learned earlier in the Masechta, it means k'misis ha'bailim k'chmisis ha'shur. There has to be a similarity between if the owner were to be executed for something else and the shur, and we learn from that the shur has to be judged by a beis din of 23. In the simple sense, Mephoshim on the pasuk say it means he deserves to be killed, but instead he pays a kofer. Anyway, the point is there is a certain comparison between the shur and the owner. So therefore, so says Rava, Kol Hecha de Karina Beva Gamba Olav Yumas, in any case where we could say that we Makayim the din of executing the owner, so where the owner is not a treifa, and therefore Beistin can deal with him like they would with anybody else, Karina Beva, Hashur Yisokol, then we can also apply Hashur Yisokol, and therefore the Shur is getting executed. The Kol Hecha de Karina Beva Gamba Olav Yumas, but if you don't have that, because over here the person is a treifa, and therefore there's no, you can't really speak of Beistin executing him because he's already considered dead. So we said before, when he's in front of Beistin, then fine, they're just really more a matter of the outer Aromikir Becha, getting rid of a dangerous entity, but they're not really Makayim, the mitzvah of Mrs. Beistin with him. So then, when we don't have that, like Karin, I show you circle, then therefore we can't really apply I show you circle. And because again, you can't have Edom against him, because Edus Shiaki Yochel Azima, like we said before, and therefore the Shur is also going to be Potter from Nissa, in this case, says Rava. So again,
you do have the point that if he kills in front of Beis Din, we said before that conceivably he could be killed, but nevertheless, again, it's not really Mrs. Beis Din, it's only Oviyat Haram Kirbacha, like we said before, we talked about before, something that Oruch HaMer says on this, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says something similar about this in Kovitz Shiurim, that again, we're not talking about at this point, it's not Chiyuv Misa, it's just strictly Oviyat Haram Kirbacha to get rid of a mazik. But again, that's not a reason enough to say that in this case the shur should be chayiv misa as well. Again, Rav Ashi, Omar, Rav Ashi here also disagrees with Rava and says, "Afilu shur treifa nami shahorag potter." No, even if the shur itself was treifa, then by the same logic, it would also be potter. My timer, kibin de ilu bailam havu psiri, because if the owner himself was a treifa, then he would be potter, and then the shur would be potter, as Rava had just said. Shur nami potter, then the shur is also, if it's treifa, is potter, because again, kimisas bailam tachmisas ashur, there has to be a similarity between the death of the shur and the death of the bailim, and here you don't have that because the bailim themselves are a treifa. So again, Rava disagrees with that, and here Tosfos explains, because after all, the comparison between the shur and the bailim is only when it's the same kind of reason.
So for example, Tosfos brings up the point, we're going to learn tomorrow, Best Hashem, you have the case where a person intended to kill one person and killed another one, so then you have Machloikas, Reb Shimon, and the Chachamim, whether he's going to be Chayiv or Potter. The halacha is that he's Potter. But over here, if it's a matter of Edus Shiyaki Yochalazima, you don't really have that, because after all, if the Edim do turn out to be Edim Zayman, we don't say, well, we can't do Rasism like Kasher Zamam, because anyway, the Chiyuv on them is a Chiyuv of Mammon, and they're going to be paying the owner the value of a Shur that's Shaker. So therefore, so you really do have Edus, so Rava would say, you really do have Edus over here. The fact that it's not commissus by them, commissus Asher, is a side thing, and that's not a reason to ponder them. Whereas Rabashi says, you have to take that into consideration as well. We said in the Mishnah, Shisabayis Akela B'chula, we had a case in the Mishnah where a person incited a dog or a snake against somebody else, and the dog or the snake bit him. So then we said, the one who incited the animal is Potter, because basically it's only Groma. On the other hand, we said, Hishich Bayis HaNachash, we said if he actually caused the snake to bite the other person, so Rashi says he put the fangs of the snake onto the skin of the other person. Oh, the Adramah had gone even further and said that he pushed them into the skin. So then we had a machlokas, and the Mishnah of Yehuda said he's chayev, and the Chum said he's potter. So what's the underlying argument? Amar of Achba Yaakov, Kshetimtsa Loimar, if you analyze the machlokas, you find that as follows. The Divir of Yehuda, Eres Nochash, Bein Shinov Hu Oimid. It comes out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the snake's venom is already there in his teeth. A meaning that was as soon as Reuben takes the snake's teeth and touches them to or sinks them into Shimon's arm, then right away, it's not grumma, it's considered. It's the equivalent of taking a needle and injecting him with poison, and therefore he's chayev. Rashi actually compares it to as if he took a sword and stabbed him in the stomach. You can't say there's any grumma over there. Obviously, the sword itself is the cause of death. The same way over here, the snake's venom is directly the cause of death, and he put it over there, and therefore he's chayev. Lefichach, makish b'sayif, therefore, according to the Chachamim, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, rather, the one who did that, who put the snake over there, who put the fangs onto the person's skin, is going to be chayiv sayif, because he's considered a tzeach, the nochash potter, however, on the other hand, the snake will be potter from mitzah, because the snake, the venom comes out automatically. You can't say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the snake knowingly did it. So therefore, in other words, like this, when we talk about the shur being killed for killing a person, like we just said, that concept applies not only to a shur, as we learned in Bava Kama, it applies to any behemoth chayiv oif. There's a Mishnah in Adius, for example, that mentions that one time there was in Yerushalayim a chicken that pecked a baby's skull and killed it, and they took the chicken and gave it skila, because the concept of skila for an animal applies to any behemoth chayiv oif. So if the snake had actually sort of voluntarily gone and injected its venom, then Rabbi Yehuda would be from chayiv et misa. But since Rabbi Yehuda considers that the venom is there automatically, and as soon as the fangs go into something, the venom automatically comes out, well, then the snake can't be chayiv any more than a hypodermic needle would be chayiv for the person who's using it, who's chayiv, and therefore here the person would be chayiv hereg, and the snake would be potter. L'divrei Chachamim, as opposed to according to the Chachamim, says Rav Acha b'Yakov, Eres nochash me'atzmei hu meki. The snake doesn't just automatically, the fangs are there and automatically the venom comes out. The snake has to decide on its own that this creature in front of it is dangerous and push out the venom through its fangs. Therefore, the snake is going to be getting skila, because again, this concept of skila applies to any kind of animal that killed on its own. On the other hand, the person will be potter because the chum consider it to be groma. So now there is a point that the Gemara mentions in Bava Kama, that if you have, for example, let's say a bull that's used for bullfighting and it kills somebody, then it's potter from Misa, because ki yigach, the pasuk says, when the ox gores, v'loshiyavichuhu, not that they cause it to gore, but they train it to fight and to gore and everything, and therefore and then they provoke it, and therefore that, and therefore it's potter. So why is it any different over here with the snake? The reason is because the Chachamim say that the snake on its own goes and then injects its venom. So in other words, basically the difference is
between training the animal to fight, like the bull, versus over here where the snake itself. Yes, the person put the snake over there, but the snake itself the snake itself wasn't forced to give out its venom. It did that on its own, and therefore the Chum will say that the snake is actually going to be Chayim Nisa for that, as opposed to the person has done only Grama, and therefore Hashem will deal with him. The Mishnah continues, Hamakes Chavera, a person hits somebody else, Ben Be'evan, Ben Be'egrith, whether a stone or a fist, those are the two examples that it gives in Parshas Mishpatim. Now, you have like this, in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells us, a person hits somebody else, like we're saying here in the Mishnah, Be'evan or Be'egrith, with a stone over his fist, V'lo Yomus, the other person doesn't die, V'nafal L'mishkav, and instead he falls sick. So then the pasuk continues that if he gets up and walks outside, al mishantoi, and on mishantoi, now mishantoi literally means his walking stick, however it doesn't mean that over here, Rashi points out on the pasuk, because anybody can walk around on a walking stick, even somebody who's deathly ill. So it means on his full strength, mishantoi, meloshin, that he's able to lean on his own strength. So then, the Nikamaka, then the one who struck him, is potter from this, so he just has to pay the various punishments, of the various payments of Nezek, Tsar, and so forth. And the Pasuk over there mentions specifically Sheves and Ripui, Rak Shivta Yitin, Virapo Yirabe. Anyway, so now let's discuss those dinim. So again, what Reuven hit Shimon with a stone or with his fist, Va'amdu L'misa, based and evaluated that Shimon is going to die from this. The Hekel, and then his condition improved, the Hekel, Mimashahoya, and his condition improved. So now they reevaluated him and said it seems that eventually he's going to recover. Later on, though, his condition became worse again and he ended up dying. So then Chayev, the original person who hit him is Chayev, because then we can say that we can attribute the fact that this person died to the original blow. He partially recovered in between, but that's not enough. The Yad Ramah points out, the Meiri points out, that if he completely recovered, then there's no question the first person is the one who hit him is Potter. What we're talking about over here is where he didn't fully recover, but he was definitely on the road to recovery, and then now he became worse. I skipped a line over here. Later on, instead, he relapsed and he became sick again, and then he ended up dying chayev. Then the original person who hit him is chayev, because he never fully recovered in between. Yes, he was starting to get better, but he was still a long way from that. And then now he relapsed. Then we can attribute it to the original blow. Rabbi Nechemia says the original person who attacked him will be Potter, Shiraglayim Ladova, because Rabbi Nechemia says the matter has legs, which is a Gemara expression, meaning in other words that we have a strong reason to say that he didn't die because of the original blow, because if he was, he would have been getting worse and worse, he wouldn't have been improving, his condition wouldn't have been improving in the middle. So the Gemara analyzes the Machlokas. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, as Zu Dorash Reb Nechemia. Reb Nechemia got his opinion that if the victim improves in the middle and then afterwards has a relapse, that the original, that the one who hit him should be Potter. Reb Nechemia doubtions it as follows from the pasuk. The pasuk says, after it describes that the other person hit him with a stone or a fist, Im Yokum, if the victim gets up, these halich bachutz, and he walks outside, al mishantoi, on mishantoi, which again doesn't mean on his walking stick, it means on his full strength. Rashi explains, v'nishan al koicha, he's able to rely on his own strength. So then the pasuk says, v'nika amake, then the one who hit him is exempt from being chayiv misa. Now, Reb Nechemia says, what's the chiddush in that? Why would you think otherwise? If Shimon is getting up and walking around in the street just fine, why should we think that there's a havamina to kill Reuven for having hit him? So why do we have to say v'nika amaka? The pasuk should just say that he has to pay Sheves and Ripui and the various other payments. Rather, Reb Nechemia says, the pasuk is talking about the exact kind of case we're talking about in the Mishnah, where they originally evaluated that Shimon is going to die from his injuries, and then he started recovering, and then afterwards he relapsed. So in other words, so now when he's going around, so in other words, So now, before we were saying that Al-Mish'anto means with his full strength. But again, if he had back his full strength, even the Chachamim are going to agree that he's Potter. Reb Nechemiah, the Yad Ramah, points out, evidently Reb Nechemiah Taka understands that the word Al-Mish'anto does actually mean on his walking stick. In fact, Mefoshim on the Pasuk have the same argument. The Rashi mentions on the Pasuk that it means his full strength. On the other hand, the Ramban points out on the Pasuk that it can really mean with a walking stick. So it's true. Yes, he needs a walking stick, but he's still recovering, but nevertheless with Nika Amaka. So Reb Nechemiah is taking that view. So therefore he's saying, we're not talking about the person is fully recovered. He still needs a walking stick. Nevertheless, though, the Pasuk is saying that even though, La'achakach ismi rames, even though later on he relapsed and he ended up dying, Shul Potter, Reb Nechemiah says, that's what the Pasuk is saying with Al-Mish'anto v'nika ha-maka, that even in that case, the maka, the one who hit him, is Potter, because in between he was improving. And again, if he had died directly because of the injuries, then he would have been getting worse and worse, and he wouldn't have recovered in between. V'rabbanan, what are the Chachamim answer to that? Hai v'nika ha-maka mai darshibe, what are they darshining with that word, with that phrase? The answer is malamet shechov shen oisei. They say it means that we put the one who hit him, the assailant, in jail. Meaning, in other words, we need to figure out what's going to happen with this person. So if to begin with we have an omid lemisa, the doctors evaluate that this victim is likely to die, then we put this person in jail and wait and see what happens, whether the victim does in fact die or not. So now the point is, once he gets up and walks around, then Vinika, now he's clean, in other words, now he's free to go, whereas up until now he was in jail. Bechlal, you know, in Torah we don't really find jail as a punishment per se. We have this kind of case where we have to put him in jail for the time being until we figure out what's going to be the story with him. We're going to have soon, the Gemara is going to talk about, in the same way with the Mekoshish and the Makala, where they had to put them in jail temporarily until we figured out what we did with them. And later on the Gemara is going to discuss, you have the rare case of Koinsin Oysa Lekipa. You have certain kinds of cases where a person is put in a little confined space because of certain avedas that they did, but basically in the Torah system, you don't have a concept of jail. The Rebbe talked about this in a number of letters, because you put a person in jail, they're not really, you're just wasting their life. The Torah is saying, you know, a person has to be productive in their life. Either they need to be able to be productive, or if not, if they've done something so grievous that they need to be removed from the world, then that's that. But the concept of taking somebody and throwing them into jail for years and years is not part of the Torah system. Anyway, so again, the Chacham are saying that it means that temporarily you arrest the person and hold him up and hold him in a holding cell until we find out, till we see what happens with the victim. So the Gemara says, Reb Nechemiah Chavisha Manolei. Well, Reb Nechemiah has to agree with that point as well, because the fact is there are going to be times when the person is, we don't know whether he's going to live or die, and therefore we can't execute the person yet, but on the other hand, we don't want to let him run away either. So where is Reb Nechemiah learning that from? The answer is Yalach Mekoshish. Reb Nechemiah is going to learn it from the case of the Mekoshish Eitzim. You have, the Pasuk says, that they brought, by Yanichu Oisa B'Mishmor, the Pasuk says, they put him in jail because they didn't know yet what to do with him. They didn't know what kind of Misa he's going to get yet. So therefore, Reb Nechemiah says, so you see from that, you have this concept of putting somebody in jail temporarily. So the question is, but Abana Nami Leilfim Mekoshish, well, why don't the Chachamim learn from that? And the answer is Mekoshish Baktolahu, because in the case of the Mekoshish, there was no question that he's Chayiv Misa. As the Gemara is going to say soon, we know he knew for sure that he's Chayiv Misa for breaking Shabbos. The question was which Misa? Rashi brings it on the Pasuk as well. Moshe, I have a Yodik Tolei B'mai. So Moshe just didn't know what kind of Misa he's supposed to get. Tosfos points out that usually now, when the Torah says Mos Yumas, then by default, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, it means Chenek. So why didn't Moshe just take it as a given that he gets Chenek? So Tosfos explains, because like we learned earlier, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, breaking Shabbos in a way is like Ovid Avodah Zarah, because after all, he's denying, he's Mechal Shabbos for Fahesia, and he's denying that Hashem created the world, and therefore maybe he should get Skila like an Ovid Avodah Zarah, but Moshe wasn't sure about that. So he thought that maybe there should be skill over here. Other Mephoshim on the Pasuk, the Chizkuni and others point out that another point is we learned earlier in the Masechta that you have the word Chilul over here, Mecham Chal Lecha Mos Yumas, you have the Lois Chal Shem of the Kecha by Molech, and maybe therefore again that would be a reason maybe to make him Chayev, to make him Chayev Skila. An interesting point is that Tosfos makes the point that he's Mechal Shabbos for Fahesia. Well, who says that it was Fahesia? So the Margoliath Hayam actually points out that, you know what, anytime, even if it wasn't Fahesia when he did it, the fact is that he gets judged by a Beis Din of 23, and that's more than enough to be Fahesia. As we learned in the previous paragraph, 10 is enough to be Fahesia. So anybody who's Mechal Shabbos and is brought to Beis Din, pretty much by definition, there's Fahesia over here. There's also an explanation. The Paudis Yosef brings an explanation that Moshe thought that maybe in fact, yeah, there might be a distinction between Skila and Chenek, depending whether it was Bitsino or Bifahesia, and Hashem tells him that no, it's always going to be Skila regardless. There was Bechlal, they asked the question, wasn't Moshe taught all the details of every mitzvah as he was taught it, so how does he not know this detail? So in fact, one explanation is that the Rashi brings on the Pasuk about the Mekoshesh, that according to one opinion, this took place even before Matan Torah, so they had already been given the mitzvah of Shabbos, but they hadn't been given the mitzvah yet, so they hadn't been given the details of the mitzvahs yet, including the fact that he's Chayiv Skila. So therefore, so Moshe didn't know, but they did know that he's Chayiv Misa. Anyway, la puki hai, getting back to the Gemara, la puki hai, delayed in an ibak tolahu, la bak tolahu. As opposed to this case where Reuven hit Shimon and wounded him, and now Shimon is hovering between life and death, we don't know whether Reuven is going to be chayav misa or not. Therefore, the Chacham say you can't learn from that story of the Mekoshesh that there's a concept of putting a person in jail when we don't know whether he's chayav misa or not. When he's chayav misa, like the Mekoshesh, then sure, but not in this case where we don't even know if he's chayav misa. The Gemara says, Rav Nechemia. So what does Rav Nechemia answer to that? So the answer is Yalath Mimagadif. Fine, then don't learn from the Mekoshesh Eitzim. Learn from the Megadif in Parshas Emor. Delay have a Yod Ibak Tolahu. There they didn't know whether he's Chayiv Misa that yet, because unlike with the Mekoshesh, where they knew that Chilul Shabbos gets him Misa, they just didn't know which Misa. With the Megadif, they didn't even know whether he's Chayiv Misa, and yet they put him in jail. V'chav Shul. Rabbanan, what are the Chacham answer back to that? They say Megadif Haras Shah Hosa. The Megadif was a Haras Shah. Because it's true, in order to execute him in the first place, there needs to be Hasra. Now we're going to have later on Daf Pei, we're going to have a Machloikas. Does the Hasra have to be of the actual Misa that he's going to get, or just that he's going to be Chayiv Misa? So according to the Tosfos points out, according to the opinion, that you have to actually tell him what Rabbi Yehuda holds, you have to tell him which Misa, then therefore he would say that the Mekoshesh Eitzim is also Haras Shah, for the same reason, because they didn't know whether he's Chayiv Skila or Chenek or what have you. But here, with the Mekoshesh, they didn't even, the Megadif, they didn't even know whether he's Chayiv Misa or not, so therefore to give him Misa definitely had to be a Haras Shah, so therefore the Chum say you can't learn from such a Haras Shah, so therefore in that case then, So they on their own came up with the idea of putting him in jail and then let's figure out what's going to happen. So basically they were basing themselves on the Suffolk. But you can't learn from that to other cases of Suffolk because that was a unique case. Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in a Blaisa. Yodeya hoya Moshe Rabbeinu Shama Koshesh Nisa. Moshe knew that the Mekoshesh Eitzim is going to be Chayev Nisa. Chenem Mechalaleo Mos Yumas, because the Pasuk clearly says that somebody is Mechalal Shabbos, is put to death. Ella, loy hoya dead. There is a Misa Nerag, but he didn't know with which kind of death, whether it should be Skila or Chenek or something else. Because the Pasuk says it hadn't been clearly said what should be done to him. So meaning in other words, it had been said that he's Chayiv Misa, but it hadn't been clearly stated which Misa. When it comes to the Megadif, the expression of the Pasuk is to clarify for them on the word of Hashem, meaning Moshe didn't know whether he's actually Chayiv Misa or not for being Megadif, until Hashem came and told him that yes, he is Chayiv Misa.
Okay, so therefore, so the Chum said all of that was a Hayrashra, because normally in order to execute a person, you need Hasra, and even according to the Chachamim, the Hasra at least has to be that you tell him that you're going to be Chayiv Misa, and here they couldn't do that, because they didn't know at the time he's Chayiv Misa, and yet the fact that they executed him was a Hayrashra, so the fact that they put him in jail was also a Hayrashra. That doesn't show that we can apply that to other times. Okay. So the Gemara says, Bishleimel Rav Nechemya. Okay, so getting back to the Machlokas of Rav Nechemya and the Chachamim, then we can say as follows. The Pasuk says, now again, Rav Nechemya is saying that when the victim started recovering in between, then Raglayim Ladover, and therefore there's a strong reason to say that the fact that eventually he died was not directly because of the blow, but rather because of something else, and therefore that now, the assailant will be Potter from Misa. The pasuk, now there's two things in the pasuk. You have the pasuk says, v'lo yomos, that Reuven hit Shimon with a stone of his fist, v'lo yomos, and Shimon didn't die. Then the next pasuk continues, im yokom viz halach b'chutz, if he gets up and goes around outside, v'nika hamaka. So it comes out that basically you have twice in the pasukim, we're stressing this point, that we're evaluating the victim to see what happens. Because in other words, it shouldn't have had to say, v'lo yomos. It could just say that he hit him, and then later on, if he gets up and walks around, v'nika hamaka. So those words, v'lo yomus. So b'shleim l'Rav Nechemya ha'inu d'chtiv et shrei umdoni. So according to Rav Nechemya, we understand why the pasuk is in effect mentioning that they evaluate him twice, in two different ways. One is where they evaluated that he's going to die and then he recovers. And the other is where they evaluated that he's going to die and then he started recovering. So therefore, so that according to him, in both cases, so according to Rav Nechemya, when they figured that he's going to die. The Yosim and Beis Din Chayim at that point, Beis Din decided that if this person dies, he's going to be Chayim Misa. So maybe now the fact that the victim recovered, Hashem had Rachmanus on the victim. That doesn't show that the assailant shouldn't be Chayim. So therefore, the pasuk is saying that v'lo yomus, he didn't die as they thought, he was just sick in bed, and then rakshiv te yitin v'rape yirape. And if he's halach b'chutz, if later on he walks in the street, then v'nika amaka, then he's completely innocent of misa, even if later on the person relapses. So according to Rav Nechemya, we need both psukim to tell us both those points. Elo l'rabbanon. According to the Chachamim, they say that it's coming to tell us that in between they put him in jail. So, why does it have to mention two times this umdana? That should say, and we would understand that it means that even when they evaluated that he's going to die, but if the victim recovers, then shifte yitin v'rape yirape. So, according to them, why do we need the extra expression in the pasuk? And the answer is Chad Amdu L'Misa V'Choya V'Chad Amdu L'Chaim U'Mes. Because the Chum would say that you one of them is telling us where they evaluated he's going to die, and then he eventually recovered. So therefore we're saying that the assailant is Potter from Misa. The other one, what are you talking about? Faker. They figured the victim is going to live, but then he ended up dying. So now we have to say that he is in fact guilty, and he is going to be Chayim Misa. So in other words, the Chum would say like this, v'lo yomus means the case where they figured he's going to die, but then unexpectedly he did die. So v'lo yomus means, in other words, Rashi teaches out that if they evaluated to begin with that lo yomus, he's not going to die, then even if later on he died later on, shifti yitin v'rape yirape, then you have to, he won't be chayav misa, because to begin with they evaluated that he's going to live, but nevertheless he's going to have to pay sheves and ripui for what they were trying to do while they were curing him, while they were trying to cure him before he actually unexpectedly took a turn for the worse and died. Then The second pasuk would be talking about where they evaluated he's going to die, and then they and then meanwhile they put him in jail until we find out what actually happens, and then meanwhile then he recovers. So then also so then shifti yitin v'rata yirate. But the Chachamim are still saying, like they said in the Mishnah, if amdul misa, if they figured he is going to die and then he started recovering and then he took a turn for the worse, then the Chacham said that's not included in the psukim over there, and then in fact he is chayav misa. So according to the Chacham, that's why we need twice where the pasuk mentions that they evaluated him, one where they figured he's going to live, and the other one where they figured, and then he unexpectedly died, where then the makeh is potter, and he only has to pay Shevis and Ripoy and the rest, and the other one where it was the other way around, and also the same thing. Reb Nechemia answers back to that. If they evaluated that the victim is going to recover and then he unexpectedly died, you don't need a pasuk to tell us that the assailant is potter. Because after all, he went out innocent from Beis Din, because at that point, Beis Din decided that it's highly unlikely that he's going to be chayiv. It's actually impossible that he's going to be chayiv misa, because obviously it wasn't a hard enough blow to kill him. So therefore, necessarily, he's zakai, and therefore, there's no need for the pasuk to tell us that later on he's not chayiv. Tosfos points out actually that we're saying that if Amdul Lachaim Umes, then he's going to be paying Mammon. So Tosfos points out that in that case, why don't we say that he would be considered? Why do we need a pasuk to tell us that he should be considered like somebody who did something that he would be Chayav Misa, but it was only Beshoigig, and he should be Potter. Anyway, the point is that Nechemiah is saying you don't need a pasuk for that. The Chum are saying that you do. Then we learn in a braisa, more on this topic, hamakas chaveri v'amdur l'misa, person hits somebody else, and they evaluated that the victim is going to die, v'choya, and then in the end he lived, potunosa, then we potter the assailant, and we only make him pay the nezek and tzar and so forth. Amdur l'misa, if they evaluated that the other person is going to die, and then his condition improves, then we make a second evaluation to see, well, now he seems to be on the road to recovery, so now let's see how much is the assailant going to have to pay. If afterwards his condition worsens and he dies, then we follow that middle evaluation and we say that's the amount you have to pay. The Chum say we don't start making one evaluation after the other, so the Chum say that no, the second evaluation doesn't undo the first one. The first one, we said that it was expected that he's going to die, so therefore, again, the Chum was saying the fact that he started recovering in between doesn't help, and he's still Chayav Misa, so the fact that in between they evaluated that he seems to be recovering, and therefore we should say he's Potter from Misa, the Chum say you don't do that, so instead you just say that it's considered, you still follow the original Omid, and therefore if later on his condition worsens and he dies, then we go according to the original evaluation. Tanya Idoch, then we learn another braisa the other way around. Amdul Misa, if they evaluated that the victim is going to die, if we see then that he starts recovering, then we reevaluate and see how likely it is that he's going to live. But if they evaluated that he's going to live, then they don't later on reevaluate and say, well, now it seems his condition is worsened and he's going to die, because again, as we said before, Yotzim based in Zakai, once they had the first evaluation and the doctor said it looks like he's going to live, then at that point we patter the assailant from Misa, and now we're not going to be Machayev him again, because as we said, Yotzim based in Zakai, he went out of Beis Din already innocent. And then Amdu Lamisa, if they evaluated that he's going to die, the Heikom Imashahoya, and his condition was improving, and then again, like the previous Braisa had said, the Nechemiah says, then you make a second evaluation as far as money, and if later on his condition worsened and he died, Mishalom Nezek Tzar LeYoshim, then he pays Nezek and Tzar and the rest of the things to the Yoshim. Because after all, they evaluated how much he's going to have to pay, and they said that he's potter from Misa. From what point on? From what point on does he have to pay? In other words, according to what
point in this whole process do we figure out the value of the Nezek? Because Nezek, after all, means that we have to evaluate how much he would be worth. How much would we be worth if he's to be sold as a slave? So we have to figure out at what point do we evaluate his worth for that. So Mishashi Kohu, that would be from when he hit him. In other words, we don't say we evaluate him as so we figure out the difference in value between before and after we hit him. Where the point is, we shouldn't say, well, until now we weren't making this evaluation at all, because until now we thought that he's going to die, and therefore the other guy is going to be chayv misa, and kom lebe didavimine, he's not going to be paying. So now that we have to reevaluate and then figure out how much he's paying in money from Nezek and Sire and so forth, maybe we should go according to the guy's condition right now. So no, we don't say that. We go according to his original value before this person ever started up with him. This last braisa that we just quoted is a stam braisa like Rav Nechemia, who again says that even as long as he was on the road to recovery, then even if afterwards he worsens, we don't execute the one who hit him. We just make him pay the chamisha dvarim. So that last braisa is according to Rav Nechemia. The chum would disagree with that whole concept, and they would say that you do in fact have to be mechayev and misa because originally the victim, it seemed, was going to die, and then afterwards hichbid v'mes, and there never was a full recovery in the middle. Okay.